Welcome everybody to Dynamite Download. We are here and we are truly honored to be joined by one of our favorite wrestlers, one of my absolute favorite wrestlers on the planet, your current AEW TNT champion and recent runway model, Mr. Mayhem, Wardlow, man. Can't thank you enough for joining us, dude. How you feeling, champ?
Oh, I'm feeling amazing. How are you guys? Yeah,
we're doing great, man. We get to talk to one of the best on the planet right now. It doesn't get better than that. Real quick, man, one of the things that, you know, as a fan of yours from the very early on, I think it's been really, really cool to kind of step back and see your growth and the company's growth. It feels like there's a like you're on a similar trajectory, right? I mean, you were there kind of on those early stages, and to see the roster and the way that this company has really blown up, it's gone from like a raw kind of anti like establishment product to becoming really mainstream. And you yourself have kind of gone from being like this raw, unpolished, super potential superstar to being a guy who has seen that potential realized now, right? I mean, you are the face of TNT. And so I got to ask you, man, like truly, when you look around, not just at your career, but when you look around at the company and you see that growth, what's it like? I mean, what's going through your head when you see guys like Keith Lee coming in and Swerve and all these big names coming in, Danielson's and all that? Where's your head at when you see the peers in the locker room changing?
You know, I welcome whoever into this locker room that can help this company grow. Mm. I don't care who you are, where you come from. If you are an asset to this company, welcome.
Yep.
You know, some people are, some people aren't. You know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just one of those people that I want AEW to succeed. Because like you said, I am a day one guy.
Yep.
And they are, you know, day ones are few and far between nowadays. So I take a lot of pride in being a day one. And, you know, I feel like maybe there is a little extra motivation to make AEW a success.
Hmm.
Because I want to be able to say at the end of this that I was somebody that was there day one, stuck through, and made this thing fucking awesome. oh yeah, I meant to ask you guys, what are the? Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah,
say whatever you want.
Yeah, man, whatever you want. Whatever. Okay. Who's gonna tell you otherwise, man?
Well,
I mean, that's a really. I mean, honestly, though, man, just hearing you say that.
Yeah.
Hearing it from your sheet, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? Like those numbers of the true AE1 day ones are dwindling, and you're able to stand tall as a man who, I mean, your story is just getting started. I mean, that's
yeah,
pretty
man.
Incredible.
I'm not threatened by my, I'm not threatened by my position. You know, so guys like, you know, top names coming in, you know, that doesn't intimidate me. Like I said, I think it's as long as it's bringing more eyes to me, absolutely. I'll never understand the people that don't get that. But
iron sharpens iron, and that's something we preach on our show. You know, we thrive on being positive on our brand itself, you know, in such a negative world and social media and things like that. So it's tough to navigate that. And that's a great mindset to have because, you know, as the tide rises, all the ships rise. Yep. You know, it seems like, you know, we've had fortunate talk to other AEW talent, and it's a pretty common theme of trying to uplift others. But of course, you know, when the roster gets deeper, you know, you do can possibly get some bad apples. But that aside, like this year has been such an amazing year for Wardlow, Mr. Mayhem himself. I mean, face of Revolution ladder match, conquering the salt of the earth MJF, and becoming All Elite officially, and one of our favorite feuds and payoffs, you know, in all of AEW history.
Yeah, man.
And now winning the TNT championship, you know, that's an awesome year, and the year is not even over yet. We still got a lot of months, you know, mm-hmm. three and a half months left to go, and still a lot is changing. But what does it mean right now to you to be the TNT champion? You know, a little over 2 months you've had the belt.
Oh man, it's more important now than ever. Like it was already necessary for me to turn it up.
Okay.
But with where we are in the current state of AEW, it is even that much more important to amp it the fuck up. And that's just what it is, man. It's time for everybody to step it up. And everybody that is, you know, talking about not having an opportunity, here's your opportunity.
Yep.
Step up.
Here's everybody's chance to step up right now.
You're right.
You know, because it's time to get back to the day, the day one vibe. You know, when it started, we were a family. Mm-hmm. And we survived COVID like a family. You know, we saw each other more than we saw each other's families.
Hmm.
You know, and I feel like we're most definitely getting back. Literally just this past week, it really felt that strong bond again. And we're on the right track now, man. It's great.
I mean, you pretty much called out, it seemed like, the locker room. I mean, when you cut that promo after your match, you seemed pretty pissed off.
I didn't call out the locker room. I called out the business.
There you go. Even better. Yeah, I mean, right. I would not want to see that Wardlow in an alley pissed off like that. But, I mean, you were pretty heated, and it was awesome. We felt it. Chills on our arms. I mean, everyone felt it. Everyone was talking about it. It was an awesome promo and needed to be said, like you were just mentioning. I mean, stepping up. And, man, you did in a convincing fashion. So, that being said, you know, with another title defense, what direction do you want to take the TNT title moving forward after this past week on Dynamite?
You know, the thing is, that wasn't a promo. That was...
Talk to us about that, man. Yeah, because you seem pissed.
No, it's real. It's very real. Like, it's more real than anybody can even fathom. You know, that's the thing, man. The line between who you see on TV and who's in real life is can be very, very blurry at times. You know, that was very real. I see that stuff and I know things. You know, when you go from literally one of the best feuds in professional wrestling,
I mean,
in many, 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 many years, you know, anything you do after that is going to be difficult to follow up with. Do I feel like maybe I dropped the ball a little bit? Maybe. But I feel like I owe it to the fans and I owe it to myself to turn it up. And it's time for me to challenge, you know, next level people. You know, what is next? Mm-hmm. Like, when that's you really good, think about it, what is next for Wardlow? Who's going to, like... But it really comes down to who's going to step up.
Yeah.
I've just called everybody out. I've called everybody out.
You did.
Who's going to step up? Who are the next level guys that are going to step up?
Yeah.
Doors wide open.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good point by you, man. I mean, because, you know, like, and I think that you were addressing not just, like, the locker room, but, you know, the people who like to chirp on, you know, online and all that stuff. I mean, saying like, oh man, he went from MJF and now he's fighting, you know, Mark Sterling and security guards and all that stuff. And I know that kind of stuff has to get old sometimes, hearing people, everybody's telling you what you should do and what you know, oh, Wardlow should be doing this, you know, right?
Has to get trust me. Oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm not one of those guys that, like, really, really gets upset about what people say online, but
good.
Because I mean, if I can get away with beating the shit out of Mark Sterling for every week and get paid to do so, come on.
Hey,
not there are worse jobs.
But no. I'm a very, very, very competitive individual.
Yeah.
We can just tell
by nature. Yeah. So, you know, I've always thought to myself and I've always said, like, getting into the business, I don't want to be just a regular dude. I don't want to be just a mid-card guy. I want to be one of the fucking best to ever do it.
That's we're seeing it.
That's why we love it.
Like, like when people talk about, you know, when people list those names,
yep,
you know, in 10, 20 years, I want to be on people's lists. So in order to do so,
yeah,
it's a next level competition. So I invite that.
I like it, Wardlow. I mean, and that's one of the things that, like, you know, that hunger in you has always been apparent. So it's not shocking to hear you say that, you know, you're willing and welcoming anybody to step to your door now, right? SPD, one of the things that we talked about is that open challenge. And it sounds like that open challenge, although it might not be like officially recognized by AEW, it's certainly back. Wardlow has issued an open challenge to anybody in the locker room, step up and show that you're man enough. I'll be honest with you. I mean, it would certainly be interesting to see some of these big, big names try to test themselves against the War Dog. I mean, I'm all for it. You did mention Wardlow. I mean, like wanting to build this legacy. And I know you're a big student of the game. You've been a fan your whole life, really. I mean, those of us who have listened to some of your previous conversations about some of those guys that have influenced you, it's evident that you're not just physically competitive, but you're also very mentally competitive. And so that comes from placing goals in front of you and knocking those goals down, right? And so I think, SPD mentioned it earlier, the year that you're having right now is massive. But what are those big goals that you have that lie ahead that you think could help cement that legacy that you're talking about, that can make you one of those names? Because I've said it, man, you have that potential to be like the Brock Lesnar's, the Batista's, those names that are big men in this business that cast a big shadow, right? You have that potential. What are some things that you personally feel like will help cement that for you?
I'm a conqueror. Like, I have to, like you said, set goals and knock them down. Mm-hmm. I need that in my life. That's literally what makes me tick. I love the chase. I love the hunt. I love the thrill of it in many aspects of life.
The war dog. So,
yeah.
No, for real, man. You know, the end goal is really just that. It's the end goal. It's the journey. It's the process of getting to that point. That is, it's truly, that's the stuff you have to absorb. And that's the stuff you have to like really sit back and appreciate as you're going through it, because that's truly the reward. Is everything you learn and gain to get to that point. But
brother,
but once you get to that point, then you have to move on to the next thing. You have to feel that all over again to conquer the next goal. So TNT Championship, yes, super proud to be TNT Championship, or to be TNT Champion. And I want to do everything to bring some respect to that title. But yes, now that I've accomplished that, absolutely, I absolutely 100% want to be and will be AEW World Heavyweight Champion, because I want that.
Yep.
And I always get what I want, and if I don't, I take it. So
love it.
So, but beyond that, I truly believe how I can really contribute next level to the company.
Yeah.
I truly believe I can be somebody that can get into the mainstream light and bring a whole different audience to our show, to our company. I truly believe that I can get into, you know, Hollywood type, you know, shows, movies, and just get a whole new world onto AEW. And, you know, hopefully some opportunities will come to light there. And yeah. I truly believe I'm the one to do it. And I think it would just extremely benefit, you know, obviously me, but also the company. Huge.
Yep. Yep. World title is something that is without a question in your future. And it sounds like for me, it's not just necessarily about becoming the world champion, but the journey there. The guy that seems to have a different mentality of that is one of your arch nemesis, the MJF. I mean, the guy has found a way to skip the line, so to speak, and get the chip where he can. I mean, it's just a very different approach. And honestly, the world title scene right now is in a bit of chaos, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on this world title tournament, about the way that MJF's gone about inserting himself and kind of cutting the rest of the line?
The I mean, devil.
Really, where are you at with the devil and his role in this whole thing?
It's always good to take a breath and think about, you as a married man, we know that sometimes you need to think about something for a count of three or count to five before you say something. but it,
you,
I know
you, the, you know the, how you yeah. you know how you just recently mentioned intelligent.
Yeah.
Man, so one thing I have learned is to just not always instantly react, and to, you know, take a moment to yeah. absorb. Fucking Max. So, you know, I'm man enough to admit that Max is very good at what he does.
Mm.
Clearly. It doesn't take away from the fact that he is truly wholeheartedly a piece of shit.
Yes, he is. The drizzling shits.
Like, people really have no idea. Like, people have no clue.
Really?
Like, it's like,
well, I mean, I can tell you this. I mean,
like, for the people that think it's like, for the people that think it's like, oh, it's just, he's, oh, he never turns it off. He's just, he's really good at his gimmick. No, it doesn't turn off because it's who he is. And it's just, people have no idea. And then the people that are like, oh, no, 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 no. They're so blind. They're so stupid, dude.
Deep down, he's a good guy. Yeah, not so much.
Oh,
off
man.
The air, we'll tell you our interactions with
We've
him.
We've had some.
At all
yeah.
What was there? Yeah. I feel like there was a first part to that. But
oh, yeah. No,
said,
I mean,
Max,
the world...
I saw Red.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The world title tournament. Yeah, you are right, though. You and me, you went red.
I knew there was more to that. The state of the heavyweight title has been in shambles for months. And the only thing I'll say about it is, if Wardlow was the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, he would still be the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. It would have been the summer of Wardlow. And it would have been the fall of Wardlow, and it would have been the winter of Wardlow, and it would have been the spring of Wardlow, and
Keep
it would have
going,
been the
baby.
Fucking summer of Gen. Like, I ain't fucking going nowhere. Everybody wants the fucking hot potato that some bitch handed to me and watch me take off.
Yes, please.
Yeah, man. I'm wishing that you didn't. Yeah. You're right.
I don't want to.
I told you.
It,
right? I told you guys. So for those listening going, oh shit, I told these guys, God, so long ago, like, hey, I see all the positivity you guys throw out there with me personally.
Yeah.
And not just with other people in the company, but with me personally. And I was like, so when we do this interview, like, I want to do it right. I'm like, so we have to wait for a time when I can, you know, have a little more of a voice. I didn't want this to be like a standard interview.
Yeah,
I
appreciate that. I mean,
so
I
think, you know, for those that are like, oh, this is a little next level word, though, I said this was going to be a little more deeper when we do this, and I was saving it for this.
We really appreciate
also,
that.
And also, I told you guys that I usually do interviews in the morning.
Yeah.
And I am not a fucking morning person at all. Like,
me neither.
I have to wake up and just blare music instantly to just instantly distract myself. Like, all right, here we go.
I'm getting up. Yeah.
So I told you guys you're catching me literally right after the gym. So you're getting like 100% raw in his element.
Heck yeah. It was all worth the wait because, I mean, like we mentioned earlier, we've been trying to do this for months, but then it's like, oh, he had a double or nothing breakout moment.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
TNT championship. No. Yeah. And that was like so much more is happening. It's so great watching you just continually to grow and elevate week in and week out even bigger. And so thank you for making us wait. We appreciate it. It's so
worth it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But to go full, I mean, not to go full circle, but you know, the whole tournament and the world title championship, it would be fantastic. The reaction that we got at Double or Nothing with the Powerbomb Symphony on the Salt of the Earth could kind of full circle that. If he does weasel his way into getting that gold around his waist, no better person to dethrone
him, love that.
The devil himself would be than you. But that being said, you know, your offense, let's talk about your offense. You know, it's like a freight train. You're a big guy. You're powerful, explosive. It's like anything, like unlike anything in the business. It's so fun to watch. We all, you know, geek out every time you're on there. I mean, that 20-on-1 and all these other matches you've had, it's almost like you're playing a video game. It's like, it's so fun because you talked about Hollywood. You should be a superhero. You know, you can make your own Wardlow superhero, or Superman. You can be the next Superman even. But, you know, this Powerbomb Symphony, I got to ask, you know, how many could you do without being fully fatigued, do you think? Because we were begging for 10.
I was begging for it.
On MJF.
Yeah.
We know a lot in the tank. We know you have a huge tank and you're a strong guy.
Set the stage. Yeah. It's MJF versus Wardlow for the world title. How many power bombs is MJF getting in that match, man? That's.
It will only take one to shut him up, but it'd be so fun to give him. More,
I feel like I don't know if there's a limit. If it came down to it, that if I had like free range to just powerbomb him repeatedly, oh man! I mean,
pre-workout kicks in and the powerbomb. Yeah, I mean, you have an open timetable.
I work out for hours. I mean, so how many power bombs can I do in 2 hours? Do the math. All right. Figure it out. You tell me. Not my job.
We can. Well, I mean, take our money now if you can do a 2 hour. If there's a 2 hour powerbomb symphony on NBA for the world, the crowd would not get tired.
As long as I get, as long as I have a gallon of water.
Yeah.
He's fucked.
Keep going, baby. I love it.
No, we love the Powerbomb Symphony. It's such a fun thing to watch, and just the crowd eats it up. But your other finishers you were using early on, you know, the F10, the Casualty War, that knee strike, that was absolutely brutal.
It did.
Are those retired, or you maybe see those down the line? What about those other finishers?
You guys saw a little F10. I just hit it on Jay Lethal recently. Was that at the pay-per-view?
Yep. I love the F10.
So
that knee strike, I was watching highlights today. I was like, oh my god, you killed some people.
straight murder people. Yes. So that's my baby. So that's my favorite move.
Really?
That is my favorite move. Well, all right. So
the setup for it is perfect too, man.
Oh man. So I did the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Of course, as a tribute to Batista.
Yup.
But literally, I was just in my living room one night. My mind was going. And I was like, there's so many knee strikes. Like, what's a unique knee strike I can do?
Yeah.
And I saw Orton do, you know, the DDT where he hangs the feet up on the ropes.
Ah.
And I was like, I wonder if I could hang their feet up and then drop them and knee them. And I was like, then I wonder if I could fully press them like a choke. I'm like, man, I wonder if I could pull that off. And then fortunately, I'm really strong. So I could just, one arm hoist people up, drop them, and just dead weight, knee to the face. I mean, that is a beautiful thing, man. And it's knocked everybody out. It hasn't been done in a very long time. Sweet. But I'm sure the day someone deserves it, they're going to get it.
I can name one person.
But I can name a lot of people. Shitload of people.
Well, I know it was at the top of our list.
But no, so that is up there with also because similar to that, my other baby is my clothesline. So one of my favorite moves ever is Bradshaw's clothesline.
Yeah.
To hell.
Yeah.
My God, what a beautiful move.
Yeah.
He would throw, he was a hoss, man. He would throw some weight into that.
Threw that fucking thing.
Yeah, dude.
And he would come off the ropes too. So I'm like, once again, I'm like, all right, I love the clothesline. It is one of the most basic moves. How can we make one of the most basic moves as badass as the clothesline from hell?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I was like, something just came to me. Oh fuck. It was because Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys play video games.
The video game. Yeah.
So I don't play video games ever, but the one video game I've played over the past like a decade has been Injustice, Gods Among Us. I played all of them. So I kind of thought video game mode. So the whole cockback follow through.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
And I started doing it and I started testing it out. And my God, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get this shit over. And we're finally doing it. It took me a fucking long enough, but we're doing it. But yeah, that thing's brutal. But obviously, the Powerbomb Symphony.
It's gotten over so big.
It's so beautiful in so many ways.
Yeah.
In so many ways. Because this isn't something that I pitched. This isn't me going, I want to powerbomb people because I grew up loving Kevin Nash. And I used to fucking jackknife powerbomb my friends all the time. My poor friends. They had to have hated me. Like, I feel like deep down they hated me for sure. I'm just like, hey, can I powerbomb you like 40 fucking times in a row on this trampoline? Thanks. And then
we bust up about that because we used to do the backyard wrestling thing too, man. But the powerbombs in a row, man, that's freaking great.
And then it was like, hey, now I'm going to swanton bomb you like 400 times in a row. And then after that, it was Batista. And then I'm like, hey, let me Batista bomb you 40 times in a row. You know, I got to practice.
Yeah.
So, oh, man, my friends growing up just took a beating. But, yeah, I was obsessed with power bombs, the jackknife power bomb, Batista bomb. And here I am now power bombing people in a professional wrestling ring.
Pretty sweet, man.
Yeah.
In front of thousands of people chanting my name.
Yeah.
Waving their hands, wanting more.
You talked about it earlier, the journey, right? You talked about it earlier, man, the journey. I mean, that's definitely something to step back at and look at your journey. It's pretty cool. That's pretty sweet, man.
Whose idea influenced the symphony? You mentioned it wasn't yours, but whose was the influence on
creating
that?
So there's a couple influences. It was Jericho and Tony is actually the one that deemed it the Powerbomb Symphony.
Really?
Tony Khan is the one that...
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
First labeled it the Powerbomb Symphony.
Smart.
And now he like came up to me. He's like, oh yeah, the Powerbomb Symphony. And I was like, he's like, you like that? I was like, yeah, that's pretty dope. Let's do it. And man, it did it take off, so...
That's fantastic. I mean, another one of TK's brilliant business decisions right there. And going all in on Wardlow is another one for sure.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. But Jericho, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, actually.
Okay.
Jericho was the one that first did it. And the first time the Powerbomb Symphony that was ever actually done was in Pittsburgh when I wrestled Chris Jericho in the whatever Max's bullshit, deal was.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember that, but I powerbombed him multiple times.
Hmm.
And he was just like, you know how Lesnar you know, just suplexes people over and over. He's like, you just fucking powerbomb people over and over. And honestly, it turned out to be awesome, but there's still a part of me that thinks it was written. I really think he was like, all right, you think you're hot shit. You think you're strong. Powerbomb people over and over. That's your shtick. Pull it off. And so far, motherfucker, I've powerbombed every motherfucker. Bigger, every big sumbitch.
Yes.
And somehow, one day, somehow, God is my witness, I am going to powerbomb Satnam Singh.
That's, yeah, we were kind
one,
of... We're,
one day, yeah. One day.
We believe it.
Somehow.
We believe you can.
We want to see that happen.
Powerbomb, man.
It will happen.
I mean, you talked about, dropping the F10 on Lethal. You just mentioned Satnam Singh. I mean, taking us back to the Euro match at All Out. You were paired up with your boys, FTR. You know, it's hard not to as a fan, it's hard not to just love that pairing. Wardlow and FTR.
Doesn't get much better than that.
FT War.
Yeah. FT War, baby. The things I love about your partnership with FTR is just like there's that old school vibe that you guys like to carry to the whole presentation, FT War, right? I mean, you are clearly somebody who has picked up as a student of the game. You just talked about it with your influence to Randy Orton and Batista and guys like that you allow kind of to look back on and say, how can I get better based off of that? And FTR is, that's one of the things that they really pride themselves on too, is respecting the business. I'm going to pivot on you real quick here, SPD, because one of the things we want to talk about is obviously some of the guys that you turn to, and you did have a chance to talk to us about Jericho. I'm also curious, man, right now it feels like this whole topic of, you know, respecting the veterans and listening to those who have done it before is kind of a hot button topic in AEW. I mean, it seems to be something that, like, fresh off of All Out, that there are two different, very different mentalities of the business. I want to do it my way and figure it out my own way, or I'm going to turn to vets and listen to their tutelage. Where do you fall on that? Are you somebody who likes to kind of do things your own and like trial and error, or are you somebody who kind of likes to go get feedback on your matches and try to hear what other people think you should do or what you can do better?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to do a little bit of both. You should most definitely try to do your own thing here and there and experiment with things for sure. But I have received a lot of advice and guidance from so many people backstage. So Mark Henry has been so kind and shared so much knowledge. Jerry Lynn, one of the kindest men in the world, always there. Paul White has been great and shared a lot of knowledge with me. I mean, everybody there. Billy Gunn has been huge for my career. He's helped me a lot. And he's, you know, he helped me for a long time when I was going through that, like, just murdering everybody. I mean, I guess I still am kind of doing that. But like,
I know what you mean.
but like when it was really starting to happen consistently week after week.
Sure.
Like when it first started, it was him.
Yeah.
You know, giving me some sort of tweak every week. And I just remember being so excited every week to come back and do it again and tweak whatever, you know, we had talked about. And then I would fix that and then he would have something new for me. And it was it was really this cool thing for a while. And he still helps me to this day.
You just mentioned QT. I'm a big QT Mark, man. I think that guy's amazing. Dude, he's been QT's, so cool to us too.
QT is the man. He really is.
Yeah.
QT is the man in so many ways. People have no clue. No clue. Yeah. QT.
Just always grinding.
There's so much I could say about QT. But yeah, him as well. Arn Anderson. Okay, sorry, heard something. Just the blinds, real windy.
Somebody knocking on your window.
Could be.
You never know.
You never know. You never know. but I would say the biggest. So obviously Cody Rhodes was huge.
Yeah.
Influence and really helped me out at the beginning stage. But
do you miss him? I mean, do you miss Cody?
Cody, I've always been cool with Cody and vice versa. Cody and QT were my first contacts with AEW.
That's cool.
Like it started really with cool. them. I mean the cage match.
Oh, unreal.
Pivotal moment.
So I love Cody and I'll always support Cody no matter what he's doing.
That's cool.
No matter what. So
yep.
He's never been anything but kind and supportive of me. And I've never seen him be anything other than that with other people. So that's just my perspective. But Cash and Dax and Sean Spears, huge. The knowledge that those men have shared with me and the way they've kind of taken me under their wing and the bond and relationship we've grown to have, myself and those three men. Unfortunately, Sean Spears lost his mind there for a while. I do think he's reeling it back. I think he's finally... Okay.
Maybe becoming a dad soon, maybe,
Yeah, so I think that's got him snapped back to reality. Freaking goodness, I thought he was going to be one of those guys that pulled the ski mask off. Like, no, don't go back there. Don't go back there.
No.
It's a trap. I'm sure he'll be back to do his thing.
He played such a pivotal role in your feud with MJF. It was like the unsung hero.
He was great.
He is great. Spears, Cash, Dax are so good at professional wrestling.
The Pinnacle was the real thing, man. You were very much a peer to them, though, man. I mean, the Pinnacle's the real thing.
No matter what you think about Max, personal. If you take your personal opinion of him aside, and you look at that group, holy shit!
And you think about what it could be now.
It didn't get the fucking respect that it deserved. I don't think. I think one day it could maybe, but
never say never.
I never say never about anything in life, man. That's a thing. Ever, no matter what, shit happens. I've been through too much to count anything out.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
You even mentioned, how wild it would be if you turned heel one day, and the world would have no idea what a heel Wardlow would be, like a real, true, unleashed heel Wardlow would be at this stage, right? I mean, so you never know, man. You never know what could happen. I mean, you look at the gold that you have, that FTR has, MJF has set himself up to have. I mean, maybe one day Pinnacle does reunite. I don't know.
It would take a true miracle, but I mean, maybe the Pinnacle minus one guy, maybe.
Okay, there you go.
Maybe one.
Yeah. Well, let's shift gears into it. Let's talk about your training, man. I mean, you clearly are in great shape. You're the War Dog
monster, dude.
And
my God.
We love being part of, citizens of Wardlow's world every single week. And we know it's not an easy thing to do. I like training in the gym, but it's truly dedication. Anyone who follows you, you do have that focused mission and always accomplish it. But what is your typical week training regimen? How many times a week are you in the gym? How does anyone even come close to keeping up with Wardlow?
Well, you don't. No one does. But I'm in the gym 5 days a week.
Wow.
So I have Is it two complete off days? We can have, yeah, two complete off days. But one of those off days is show days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different kind
not
of
really,
day.
Not really yeah. an off day. I mean? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, and then one day is also just kind of like a recovery, excuse me, like an active recovery day. So it's more like it's currently just like an incline walk.
Okay.
And then like some yoga stretching.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to ask. Like, yeah, I mean, like stretching and that type of stuff is really pivotal given that like, and injuries has been something that you've been very honest about, you know, battling through injuries throughout all this. It feels like that's really the only thing that could be the thing that holds you back. So, I mean, what are those things? Espedy, you're big on the cryotherapy, and he always tries to get me to do these cold showers things.
Yeah,
that
I do
he talks
cold
about.
Showers every day.
What do you do, Arlo? You do anything crazy
you
like
psycho,
that?
You psycho. You psychopath. Yeah. Yeah, look at you. Yeah, the hair and the glasses, it makes sense.
Yep. See?
yeah, you're right. Cold showers every single morning gets you going, so, man. Try them.
No, I know. I've heard about it. Cold in the morning, hot at night, but no, nah, man. Fuck that. So this kind of goes back to my statement about give me that championship, you know, because even if I do get injured, I'm fucking still going.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd be interested to go through the roster, truly, and pick out how many people have been there day one, or at least within that first year, that have since then never taken a day off or time off for anything.
That's a good point.
Injury or not, I had to take 1 week off, had to, because I didn't test positive for COVID. I actually tested negative, but I was around somebody that tested positive, so they wouldn't let me come to TV 1 week. That's the only time.
Wow.
I've never asked for a day off. I've never taken time off. So, but that's not to say I haven't experienced injuries.
Right.
I wrestled blood and guts with a completely torn calf and got yelled at by Doc afterwards because it was so bad that he said like it was very close to me having to be cut open.
Oh and, my like, gosh.
Would have been like a huge recovery.
Imagine that match too. I mean, all matches Wardlow to be wrestling. I mean, like that's a violent, physical, crazy match.
So it sucks because it's like you think what could have been a little bit. Like if I could have been full blown me in that match, it's kind of scary to think, but I tried to play it as safe as possible, which if you look back, it really wasn't too safe, but
no one would have known. I'll say that. Yeah.
But here's the thing, man, blood and guts, that huge. The first blood and guts.
Yeah.
In AEW, yeah.
Right.
There was no chance in hell I was missing that. So I was actually doing – so here's the thing. I don't know if I've ever talked about this. So I was doing sprints in the gym, and I was preparing for blood and guts. I was like, I just want to be – I'm like, I know this match is going to go on for a while. Like, I want my cardio to be nasty. So I'm doing sprints in the gym, and I'm literally – thinking about shit I'm going to do to people in that cage. I'm like, I'm going to fuck shit up when I enter that cage. And so I'm thinking about this in between the sprints to amp me up. And I thought about just what I'm going to do to somebody. And it got me so amped. I took off for the sprint. And as soon as I took off, I think my second stride, I just, it felt and sounded like a gunshot went off in the gym.
Oh, wow.
And I just hear, boom. And I was like, what the fuck was that? And like, I stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, oh shit. And I was like, my initial thought was it was my Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm fucked. if that's my Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
But And I look back and I'm like, and like I can move just enough to know it wasn't that, like, because you're down and out if it's your Achilles, mm-hmm. right? But it was still really bad, and it started to turn black and blue right away, and that's when I knew. I was like, oh shit, this is bad. Jeez. So it was like swelling and black and blue instantly, so I knew it was bad. And normally I would call doc right away if I have an issue. I don't know, it's kind of a well-known thing that I have a great relationship with doc.
Samson, call him your son.
I'm his son, he's my
You're
dad
his son.
You know,
yeah.
Work son, work dad.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great relationship, and the other trainers, all the other doctors, and Bryce, he is my trainer. So normally I'd call one of them and be like, hey, what do we do? But I was like, I feel like this is bad enough to where if I show them, they're not going to let me wrestle.
Yeah. If it's all black and blue like that.
It's so old school mentality. If you know,
but I was like, my cardio is going to be absolute dog shit now, because it was like a week before. It was a week before, and throughout the week, my leg got so disgusting, black and blue, enlarged.
Oh my god!
And the fucked up thing is, like, I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't call I couldn't call them to be like, hey, do I do the ice it, heat it, wrap it, not wrap it, elevate it.
You're doing
so web and beans. So, bro, I'm Googling shit. And yeah. Like, oh, I'm reading the worst stuff. I'm like, oh, man. So by the time the match happened, it was in really bad shape.
And does the rest of your team know? Is everybody trying to, or are you just keeping it hush hush from everybody?
The only person, so I tried to walk as normal as possible, obviously.
Yeah.
The day before, so I was trying to just walk normal, but I think I was walking with Dax. Maybe it was either Cash or Dax I was walking with, and they called me out. They're like, you limped in a little bit. I was like, oh shit. I was like I just pulled something, you know, a little bit in my calf, you know, in my leg. I'm like, I'm all good though, I'm all good. So no. nobody really knew. Until after. So I put like some KT tape on, you know, to try to cover it up. And the funny thing is, my action figure from, I'm pointing because
you have it over there.
He's staring at me on top of the fridge over there. I love that figure so much. It actually has my KT tape on
there,
which I think is hysterical.
That's awesome.
And it also has the wrist tape because Tully Blanchard taped my wrist before I went in.
Really?
Yeah. So great attention to detail on this video. Shout out Jazz Wars.
Yeah, man.
So the great thing is, the adrenaline from a match of any kind is extremely, extremely powerful. And you truly don't know how powerful until you've been in a ring in front of a live crowd. So you add the fact that it is two rings, a giant cage, blood and guts.
Just keeps getting amped up.
Dude, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it the whole match. The only time I did feel it was when fucking Hager jumped his big ass on me and I tried to pick him up and he just fucking toppled on
me. It's a big boy, dude.
He is a big boy and my leg gave out, but I didn't give up and I stood up with his big ass and I still fucking tossed him. Or either I tossed him and got hit or I went to toss him and then... Yeah, I think I tossed him, then I got hit by a steel chair. As you can see, the steel chair.
Still got a little bit, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Sammy, I believe. Sammy Guevara, I think it was. Just blasting me in the head, face or in the head with the chair.
Is that the worst injury you've dealt with and you just also mentioned like the stakes of that match. Do you feel like that match stands out? Like, what is the match to you so far that stands out?
Hold on. So
I was just trying to think. You mentioned Hager, and I was like, wait, you were in the Octagon.
Yeah.
You have Blood and Guts. Yeah. You've been in the ladder match. You've been in the first steel cage match. Like, these are accolades that are in AEW history.
He's had a lot of big matches, man.
So hold on. But it's still with the injuries. So speaking of the cage match, I did that with a torn shoulder.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to say like I have a fully blown out shoulder, but like I had a micro tear in the front and a micro tear in the back of my shoulder. But that was fresh at that time. But also
the you have to catch Cody off the moonsault off the cage. You have to catch him with a partially torn shoulder.
No, the cage fight with Hager, my bad.
Oh, Hager, okay. All right, got it.
That
as if that's easier. Okay.
That was the shoulder deal. No. But the ladder match at Revolution.
Yeah.
After that match, that night. Like my knee was just killing me that night. So that was the best moment of my life that night. Winning that ladder match. Holy shit. Winning that ladder match. Standing up there with that ring and the reaction from that crowd, especially after murdering Ricky Starks, because it was supposed to be, I powerbomb him, the place goes wild, grab the thing, they go even more wild. But instead it was powerbomb, place goes fucking silent, because I just murdered him. And then I was like, well,
that was pretty brutal on the ladder.
Yeah. And as soon as I did that, the place came fucking back up, thank God. And then I grabbed the thing and it was all good. But then later, even sweeter of a moment, which is mind blowing, that there was a moment that overshadowed that moment in the same night.
Yeah.
Was when I set that ring down and gave that nod and turned around and walked away. The eruption from the crowd as I turned around and walked up that ramp was and it's actually funny, you can see it in my walk in my strut back up the ramp.
How you were feeling?
I was really feeling
yourself, man. A little bit, yeah, you got a little bit.
Oh man, the eruption from that crowd, that is the best feeling in the whole world, dude. It really is. Hands down. There's nothing in the world that can compare.
A lot of, you know, retired wrestlers, you know, Stone Cold talks about it a lot too, how it's tough to replace that void in your life. You know, you crave that adrenaline and live reaction, and you're getting some of the biggest pops every week in and out. And it's got to be an amazing feeling for sure. I can only imagine.
Yeah, it feels good, man. I'm just trying to ride that wave for as long as the wave lasts.
Ride the wave, brother.
We're going to close out. I mean, man, this has been such a fun conversation, but I like to end our interviews on a easy, breezy note, fast five fast questions. So whatever answer comes to the top of your head, just answer it. Too crazy. It's nothing too crazy. No worries. Right. We're going to do fast
five. Yeah, keep it light.
Yeah. So the first question is, you know, what arena would you like to perform in that you haven't yet?
God, so the first thing that really comes to mind is Madison Square Garden. But I think even more so, I think now it's called Rocket Mortgage Stadium, which is the big one in Cleveland.
Okay.
One of them are down. You guys can hear me.
I was going to say, First Energy Stadium. Yeah. Okay. I can hear you.
One of them are down. We still got one, though. So we perform at the Wolstein Center, which is Cleveland State University. But growing up, I went to the Gund Arena, which is what it was called. As you're familiar with.
Yep.
The Gund. And then it was the Q. So it would be really cool to perform in that. Yeah, I don't. Then I would say the Cleveland or the Dallas Cowboys Stadium would be.
Oh, incredible. Wow.
That thing is massive.
Just
yeah.
because, yeah, my dad was, he lived in Texas for a while before I was born. So when I was born, he was, you know, a big Cowboys fan. So he was like, he kind of raised me a Cowboys fan.
No yeah. kidding.
So Cleveland, you know, I most definitely root for the Browns when the Browns play. And when the Cowboys play, I root for the Cowboys.
Okay. All right.
When they play each other, I'm happy either way. But also that's like the biggest stadium, right? And the Vegas Stadium. The Vegas Stadium would be dope.
The new Raiders Stadium. I mean, that's
but also like... also hopefully in a couple weeks I'll be able to cross one of the big ones, one on the top of the list here, because we will be back at Arthur Ashe Stadium. I don't know what's going down yet, but I hope somebody steps up to the plate for me to take on, because last year, our first show at Arthur Ashe, I escorted Max to the ring, but I didn't get to perform. So Arthur Ashe, sorry, I know this is supposed to be a speedy thing.
Five minutes on the first one.
No.
I was gonna say, I don't know if this is gonna be a quick thing. I'm not in quick mode right now.
It's late.
I'm in chill mode.
We're
boys.
Not in quick mode either. We're enjoying our time.
The pre-workouts worn off.
I used to live in New York City for 12 years, and the remodel of that stadium is pretty impressive, and nothing like a New York City crowd. I mean, they are very vocal and passionate bunch of crowd for sure. So the best. We hope
that
to see you.
That show's going
to
be hot. So
yeah, that's going to be an awesome show. I mean, we only have one match announced, but well, actually two, the championship. So it's going to be fantastic what we got last year to top it. This year is going to be incredible. Next question. Favorite, I mean, The Rock has amazing cheat meals. What is your favorite cheat meal?
Yeah.
Okay. Three things are my favorite. Pizza.
Okay.
Fucking love pizza. Plain cheese pizza is the best.
Plain cheese, Kevin McAllister. Look at you.
Absolutely. A good pizza doesn't need toppings.
Hey, okay. I like it.
All right.
I like it. Like, plain cheese.
It's like people that take macaroni and cheese and throw a bunch of shit in it. What do you do? macaroni and cheese on its own is amazing.
All right.
Once in a while, you get wild and get a Supreme and get everything on it, but that's rare. Okay. Cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you put toppings on those?
Just a plain cheeseburger.
No. So Five Guys burger, lettuce, ketchup, mustard, mayo.
Okay.
Classic.
Cheeseburger. Kind of like classic cheeseburger is kind of my deal.
Nice.
And then French toast. And I think that is one of the Rock's things, but I love French toast so much. And I have this little diner that's like within walking distance from where I live. And it's like a super old school diner, like 50s, 60s style.
Oh, that's nice.
They have the best French toast. And then ice cream.
All right.
I love ice cream for dessert, ice cream over everything.
Agree.
Have you been to Mitchell's in Cleveland? Because their ice cream is insane.
Oh, absolutely.
Dude. Yeah.
I've tried just about every flavor twice.
My man. Oh, yeah. Love it. All right, SPD. All right.
If you weren't wrestling Wardlow, what would you be doing?
My man has some big dreams, aspirations outside of wrestling.
So it would be one of two things.
All right.
I would either be probably still working like at the car dealership or something, or I would have tried to like venture some other like sales job that like probably wasn't super, super happy at. And I'd probably be drinking a lot and partying a lot. Or knowing me with my drive, if somehow, for some reason, if wrestling didn't work out, I probably would have tried to pursue like acting in some sort of fashion, or like voiceover work, which I am still trying to pursue as well as voiceover work.
Samoa Joe should chat with him a little bit.
I should chat with Samoa Joe. I think I'm going to do that.
And meet him in the ring sometime too.
Well, we had a little run in at the pay per view there. Yeah. That was actually the first time we've crossed paths.
I know.
We looked each other in the eye and we shook hands.
A little mutual respect,
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
But, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So next question. What's the funniest wrestling name you've ever considered? Did you ever consider any like off the wall gimmicks when you were coming up, like in backyard wrestling days?
Oh yeah. Going back to those days.
So back in those days. So my name.
Or recently. Yeah. Even.
My name when I was a backyarder was MDX. It was MDX.
SPD MDX. I like it.
It's like Mad Dog X or M, no M M Dog. I wanted to be M Dog
because my name's Michael. All
right, so I wanted to be M Dog A because my name's Michael, but also because you know Matt Cross M Dog 20 at the time. I thought he was so cool. I still think he's cool. So M Dog, and then yeah, I think for like short, I did MDX because I liked Rob Van Dam, so I thought like MDX was cool. Yep. And plus,
and that's where I got my gimmick from too.
The Hardy Boys, yeah.
You're a big Hardy Boys fan, yep.
Big Hardy Boys. Other than that, I think like when I got a little older and was like seriously thinking like, all right, I want to be a wrestler. What are some names? Or like when I started doing that, thinking about like once I discovered the indies and was like, all right, I wonder if I have it somewhere. There's most definitely a piece of paper somewhere with so many names written down where you do like the whole shit that like most idiots do, where you do like, my favorite comic book character is fucking this dude. So I'm going to take his first name. And then my favorite movie is this and this character. So I'm going to take third last name and I'm going to be this.
Yep.
I did that. Man. Everybody does that. You write down certain things. I don't know if I have any examples. Probably like probably something Mercer. Now, we're talking like high school here, boys. So
no, that's good.
So, do you remember the movie Four Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
right?
Mark Wahlberg. Yep.
Dude, loved that movie. So that's I was like, last name will be Mercer. Like, come on. Get out of here. But shit like that.
That's cool.
But then I realized fucking like I was put on this earth to be a professional wrestler. I truly wholeheartedly believe that. That's not me trying to be a character, trying to be anything. I truly wholeheartedly believe that. And my fucking name screams it. Like my God-given name. My name is Michael Austin Wardlow.
Wardlow. I mean, it's a chantable name. It is being chanted nonstop. It's awesome. Yeah,
so I'm just like, stop trying to think of a gimmick. Yeah, stop trying to think of a character. Stop trying to come up with a fucking... You are a walking, talking...
True.
Fucking real-life version of a fucking superstar professional. You're right. You are a fucking superstar. Like, just fucking be you.
Own it.
Hold on. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Everything's still good?
Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. We're almost through these fast fives. You're good.
These are no longer the fast five.
These are the chill fives.
These are the chill this five. Is the symphony, boys.
The symphony of five questions.
One more time.
Right. Well, the last questions, I kind of piggyback. I had to throw it out there because, you know, both you guys are Cleveland born. When do you think the Browns will win the Super Bowl?
He can't even laugh at me.
Well, it was going to be, you kind of answered it, but earlier
he doesn't care.
All right, here it is. If you had to create a trios team with anyone past, present, alive, or dead, who would you add to your trios team to take the AEW Trios Championship?
He's already got FTR. If it wasn't FTR.
If it wasn't them, yes. I mean, it's tough to top them.
So, yeah, currently FTR. Yeah. If it was
a certain era, it would be Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Okay.
Okay.
But if it was, but if it was a different era, it would be Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Oh.
And then in a different era, it would be like Batista and Triple H.
Dude, I love, man.
Wow.
We have a lot of similar likes in wrestling. That is freaking awesome. Great answer. Oh my God. Can you imagine the NWO starting off with War Dog, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash? Now that's an NWO I could get behind, dude. That'd be freaking awesome, man. My God, that'd be sick. All right, your last one, SPD.
That was it. That was the trio.
That was it. All right. Yeah. Good. All right. Cool. Wardlow, as if anybody needs to be reminded of where they could follow you on social media, give us a quick plug. Where can they find the face of the Revolution, TNT, Mr. TNT? Where can they find you online?
Real Wardlow.
That's right.
Twitter and Instagram.
It's been awesome having you, man. This has been one of the most fun experiences that I've ever had, dude. I've been geeking out about this, dude. Thanks for making time for us, man. Really appreciate you. Right.